Chapter 2. Coming Home from the Dance. It was a cold, clear night, and the village lay under deep snow. Bright, icy stars shone from a dark sky down on the silent whiteness below. Young Ethan Frome walked quickly down the empty, moonlit street. He passed Edie's fine new shop and the Varnums' house with its two tall black trees. Below that was the slope of the Corbury Road. On clear nights, this was often full of young people coasting down, laughing and shouting as they went. But there was not a sound from the icy slope as Ethan passed by. Tonight, all Starkfield's life was in a room in the church. Its windows sent yellow light across the snow, and the sound of dance music flowed out into the still midnight air. Ethan hid in the shadows outside the church and looked in through the nearest window. The room was hot, bright, and filled with young men and girls. The music had finished, and people were getting ready to leave. Suddenly, a lively young man with thick black hair jumped into the middle of the floor. He went into the crowd and pulled out a young girl. She was dark-haired and had a bright red scarf around her head. The music started again, and soon the floor was alive with dancing figures. Outside in the cold, Ethan's heart was beating fast. His eyes followed the girl's red scarf and cloud of brown hair as she danced in faster and faster circles. The young man was Dennis Eady, the son of Starkfield's most successful shopkeeper. Dennis's own success with the young women of the village was well known. Ethan watched jealously as Maddie, the dark-haired girl, held Edie's hands and smiled at him with her dark, shining eyes. "How can she look at him like that?" Ethan wondered unhappily. "Doesn't she realize what he is like?" Ethan used to walk into Starkfield to fetch home his wife's cousin, Maddie Silver, on the few evenings when some chance of amusement brought her to the village. Maddie had been with the Fromes for a year now. She lived with them in their lonely farmhouse and helped Ethan's wife, Zena, with the housework. Ethan had liked the warm, smiling girl from the moment that she arrived. She brought hope and life and brightness into his home, like someone lighting a fire in a cold room. But she had more than brightness. Ethan found that she loved the beauty of the natural world around them. Here at his side, living under his roof and eating his bread, was someone who felt the same wonder as he did. He could tell her things and show her things, the bright stars in the clear night sky, birds flying over golden fields, the blue shadows of trees on sunlit snow. And he knew that these things gave Maddie and him the same feelings of deep, silent happiness. But now, those feelings seemed so far away. He watched Maddie's laughing face as she flew round and round the room, and he felt lonely and unhappy. Then he remembered a fear that he had tried to forget. His wife was a cold, silent woman who noticed everything but said very little. Her only real interest was her own ill health. But recently, she had started to complain more and more about Maddie's housework and to say things which worried Ethan. "I'll need someone to help me when Maddie leaves," she had said suddenly one morning. "Oh, Maddie'll never leave us while you need her," he replied. His wife lay in bed and watched as he got dressed. "If a poor girl like her has a chance to marry a smart boy like Dennis Eady, I ain't going to stop her," she said in her flat, whining voice. "The doctor says I can't manage on my own, so we'll need to hire a girl." Life without Maddie. Ethan could not think of it. Her voice, her sweet smile, her gentle arm in his arm during those night walks back to the farm. These were the only things which mattered in his world. Had he been stupid to think that Zena would not notice his interest in Maddie? He had not thought about it before, but now, as he stood in the darkness outside the church, he remembered other things that Zena had said, and his fear grew. The dancers, now in their thick coats and scarves, came out into the cold night air. Ethan heard Maddie's voice in the crowd, and he stepped back into the shadows, suddenly afraid to speak to her. The crowd quickly disappeared, and Maddie stood alone outside the church, looking around her. Then a man's figure appeared.
"Nobody to walk you home, Matt? What a pity! But ain't I lucky that I got my dad's horse and sleigh down here, waiting for us. Come on, let's take a ride."
The girl said nothing, but stood still, watching, while Dennis Eady went to untie the horse. In the shadows, Ethan, too, watched and waited, with his heart beating fast. Maddie held his life in her hands. Eady got into the sleigh and called to Maddie to join him. Then she turned and ran up the slope.
"Goodbye, have a lovely ride," she called back.
Eady laughed and followed her up the slope in his sleigh. After a moment, he jumped down and tried to put his arm through hers. She stepped quickly out of the way, and Ethan's sudden fear turned to happiness. A moment later, he heard the sound of Edie's sleigh going away and saw Maddie walking alone across the snow. He caught up with her by the Varnum's trees. She turned round, surprised.
"Oh," she said, "I thought maybe you couldn't come."
"If you thought I couldn't come, why didn't you ride back with Dennis Eady?" he answered.
"Oh, how did you know?" she cried. "Where were you?
I never saw you.
They stood in the dark shadows of the trees, and their laughing voices ran together like water dancing down from the mountains in springtime. He put his arm through hers, but neither of them moved. Ethan wished he could stand there with her all night in the blackness. Maddie took a few steps forward and then stopped, looking down the icy slope of the Corbury Road.
There were lots of people coasting this evening, she said. Ned Hale and Ruth Varnum almost crashed into the big tree down there. It's so dangerous, that tree.
You'd be safe with me, Matt, replied Ethan. Would you like to come coasting some night? We could come tomorrow, if there's a moon.
Oh, yes! How lovely!
They walked along in silence. But then, all Ethan's jealous fears returned.
I guess it's natural that you're going to leave us, he said at last.
Leave? You mean Zena ain't happy with me? I know I ain't so strong or so smart, but I want to try. I really do.
So you don't want to leave us, Matt?
Where could I go?
She whispered, almost crying. Her answer made Ethan sad and happy at the same time. They continued their walk with the dark, starry sky above them and the quiet, lonely fields all around. At the entrance to Ethan's farmland, they passed by the Frome graves. Ethan had always felt that the gravestones were looking at him and saying,
"We never got out of Starkfield. Why should you?"
But now, he didn't want to escape. All he wanted was to be with Maddie, and someday to lie under that cold ground with Maddie beside him. Ethan was happy now, in his world of dreams. For the first time, he put his arm around Maddie. She let it stay there, and they walked up to the farmhouse. The house was dark and quiet. Zena always went to bed early. On the nights when they came back late, she used to lock up the house and hide the key outside the kitchen door. Ethan felt for the key under the usual stone.
"Matt, the key's not there," he said.
This had never happened before. They began to look for it in the darkness. Suddenly, there was a sound inside the house. They heard a step on the stairs and saw light under the door. Then the door opened, and Ethan saw his wife. She stood in the dark doorway, a tall, thin woman with a blanket round her shoulders. She held a lamp in one hand, and its light threw strange shadows onto her thin, lined face. She said nothing, and they stepped into the kitchen. It was deadly cold, like a grave. Ethan shook the snow off his boots.
"I guess you forgot us," he said, looking at Zena.
"No, I just felt too bad. I couldn't sleep."
"I'm sorry," said Maddie. "Can I do anything to help, Zena?"
No, there's nothing you can do.
Zena turned away from her.
And why couldn't you shake that snow off outside? She said to her husband.
They left the kitchen, and the two women went towards the stairs.
If I go up now, Maddie'll see me go into the bedroom with Zena, thought Ethan. And I don't want that. Not tonight.
I think I'll stay down here a bit longer. I've got some paperwork to do, he said.
What, now? Said Zena. You'll die of cold.
Ethan did not answer, but turned back towards the kitchen. Then he saw the look in Maddie's eyes. Was it a look of warning?
I guess you're right. It is awful cold down here, he agreed. With his head down, he slowly followed his wife up to their bedroom.